The technical people say I need to put this in my pocket because it will sound extra special.
Okay. All right. We'll see. If it sounds like I'm in a tunnel, you know, I'm inside of a can talking like this. No, that's why. Okay, so tonight, our speech tonight is entitled Trashing Our Lives One Relationship at a Time. I have often talked about moral absolutes. These are principles of right and wrong that, when violated, often bring great pain and suffering into our lives and the lives of people around us. For the past 4,000 to 5,000 years of recorded human history, marriage has been generally regarded as a necessary precondition for sexual activity. Everybody's now listening, right? Okay. It was broadly accepted that sex was best enjoyed in the context of lifelong relationships between husbands and wives. It was only in my lifetime that we decided that we were smarter than all mankind that came before us and could violate moral absolutes like the necessity of marriage without tragic consequences. But we were wrong about that, dead wrong. A quiet but phenomenal change has swept through Western civilization in my lifetime. It's so quiet, few seem to know about it, and fewer still seem to think it matters. Over the course of the last few decades, societal norms have evolved from viewing divorce as something to be ashamed of, to seeing it as normal, natural, and often necessary and desirable. Sociologists call this change in attitude the divorce revolution. Somewhere between 40 and 50% of first marriages now end in divorce, and 62% of second marriages eventually fail also. The children of the divorce revolution are not unconcerned about divorce, though, and are taking steps that they think will help them avoid the emotional pain and other costs associated with broken marriages. In short, the divorce revolution has spawned the cohabitation generation. Unmarried cohabitation, or living together, is the status of couples who are not married to each other but are sexual partners sharing a household. Far from insignificant, the trend toward living together is nothing short of revolutionary. In the United States, about 11% of couples lived together before marriage between 1965 and 1974. More than 50% of couples marrying today lived together before marriage. Simultaneously, the U.S. marriage rate has dropped 43% over the past four decades to its lowest point ever. Why has the rate of marriages dropped? According to a Rutgers University study, for today's young adults, the first generation to come of age during the divorce revolution. Living together seems like a good way to achieve some of the benefits of marriage and avoid the risk of divorce. They believe that cohabiting couples who eventually marry will have stronger marriages for their having lived together first. To be sure, there are other reasons that couples choose to cohabit, but finding the best marriage partner is the main one. However, the fact is that cohabitation is the least likely path to a stable, long-term marriage. Researchers have found that living together before marriage dramatically increases the risk of divorce after marriage. Research conducted at Yale and Columbia University and published in the American Sociological Review found that the overall association between premarital cohabitation and subsequent marital stability is striking. The dissolution, that's the divorce rate, of women who cohabit premaritally with their future spouse are, on average, nearly, listen to this, 80% higher than the rates of those who do not. That's 80% higher divorce rates for those who live together prior to marriage than those who do not. David Papineau and Barbara Defoe Whitehead, in a landmark study compiling 30 years of research on the results of cohabitation, concluded that virtually all research on the topic has determined that the chances of divorce ending a marriage preceded by cohabitation are significantly greater than for a marriage not preceded by cohabitation. Other researchers have come to similar conclusions. Those who live together before marriage are between 50 to 100% more likely to divorce than those who wait until marriage. Far from finding their ideal partner, their ideal marriage partner, people who live together are much more likely to enter unsuccessful cohabiting relationships over and over and over again. They become serial cohabitants. Leaving one relationship apparently makes it easier to leave another, rather than providing the stability many say they seek. But that is not the only adverse consequence for couples living together outside of marriage. Economic relationships of cohabitants are often tenuous. Depression in cohabitating couples runs more than 3 times the rate among married couples. Overall, unmarried couples have lower levels of happiness and well-being than married couples. So rather than providing the benefits of marriage without the problems, cohabitation usually delivers the opposite. The difficulties of a poor marriage without many of the benefits of a good one. Many people associate getting married before living together with values of a past, out-of-date generation. Values that are not for people who are smarter than all generations that have gone before them. They believe that they can violate absolute moral principles governing sex and marriage that have existed since the dawn of time. And they can do it with impunity. Writing almost 3,000 years ago, Solomon warned, "There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." About 1,000 years later, it was written that, quote, "Marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge." People can continue to think that they can ignore the moral principles that govern the universe and suffer the consequences of violating them. Or they can turn to God and receive His blessing and His forgiveness. And of course, you have the same choice. If you want to find more about the God that created you and how to get moral laws to work for you instead of against you, just come up and ask me after. God meant for two people to learn to love each other with loyalty and tenderness. It involves commitment, self-sacrifice, and a willingness to share. Love that lasts a lifetime requires faithfulness, forgiveness, and most of all, the permanence and security of marriage and the blessing of the God who created the institution of marriage to begin with. Cohabitation is the least likely way to create a marriage that will last a lifetime. Thank you very much. And those of you who have questions or comments, I'll be over here. Okay? Very good. Thanks very much. Oh, let me get this.